Welcome to Enneagram with JB, a podcast about Enneagram personalities, where you'll uncover and discover more about yourself and others through the helpful tool of the Enneagram. I'm your host, Julie Underwood. Today, we are talking with Beth McCord. Beth is an author, speaker, and Enneagram coach. She is passionate about coming alongside individuals and helping them understand and interpret their story, which I, along with her, love to do this, allowing people to see that lasting change, meaningful relationships, and life of a deeper purpose is possible. Beth's mission is to make personal awareness and growth accessible to everyone, everywhere, so that they can experience health and transformation in every area of their lives. Beth lives right outside of Nashville, Tennessee, along with me, with her husband, Jeff, and their two kids, Nate and Libby. Welcome, Beth.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to see you.
I know. It's always funny to do an intro with people that you know. You know, you're kind of like, oh, yes. And stick to the script, Jackie. So as an Enneagram 7, I'm all over the place. But before we jump into some conversation around the Enneagram and how you got started and just kind of your process, I'd love to ask you a couple personal questions. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you do realize you're asking a 9. So let's see how fast I can actually answer
that. That is so true. Okay. So they're not hard, but we'll see.
Not hard for you. We will see.
That's so true. Okay. Do you love the city or the country?
Country.
Okay. And I kind of probably figured that as far as like where you live.
Yeah, because where I live in Nashville is kind of in the country. I'm sure it's pretty soon someday it's all going to be coming out our way. But yes, yeah.
Right. You live in a beautiful part just outside the city. Okay. What is your favorite meal? If you could pick any meal, what would that be?
Okay. If I could only have one meal, I would definitely go to Casey Joe's in Kansas City. That's where I'm from. I mean, obviously I live here in Nashville. But Casey Joe's, it's a barbecue place, and I would have a brisket sandwich with their onion rings, with the incredible Kansas City barbecue sauce. Like, Kansas City does brisket really well. So if I had to pick a meal, that would definitely be the meal.
My husband would love that meal along with you. I am not a barbecue fan. I like tolerate it. I'm like, what can I get? Can I get a salad?
Yeah. See, you have to come to a place like Kansas City, maybe even Dallas, you know, or Texas, like where personally I love the brisket side. I know some people like pulled pork, which is great. It's kind of easy. So brisket, in my opinion, is where it's at. And of course, everyone from their own region thinks theirs is the best. But obviously Ted Lasso, well, he actually went to one of the high schools next to ours. So he's from Kansas City too, but in Ted Lasso, he is always touting Kansas City barbecue throughout the show. But yes, so you'll have to come to the real place to get, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when people go and they have hot chicken, Nashville hot chicken, other cities, and you're like, no, that's not it. Like, you're trying, but that's not it. It's the same thing.
I believe you. I think if I went there and tried it, I probably feel the same way. So yeah. I should go and try. I should go there.
You and I, let's go make a trip.
Oh my gosh. Yes. In all my trying to escape right reality right now, I'm like, let's go. Okay. Is there a holiday tradition that your family does every year?
Absolutely. Yes. So we always make sage bread stuffing. So this was a recipe that my grandmother used. We make it from scratch every year. Super fun. It's not hard, but it's just like this whole big ordeal. And like, we always have to make a big deal of, do we get enough sage in? And like, you know, like, are the portions going to be enough? I mean, we make a ton of it. And fun fact, President George W. Bush has tried it, because my cousin was one of the executive chefs at a hotel, and he was there for Thanksgiving. So that's a fun fact. But yeah, that's what we do every year.
Okay. What? Now, this is the important question that I know, and a lot of our listeners that follow you also know. But what if there's people out there that don't know? What Enneagram type are you?
Yes, I am a type 9. And if you want me to get very specific for those out there that are Enneagram nerds. So I am a 1-to-1 type 9, then social, And I'm a 9, heavier on the 8 wing with my family, heavier on the 1 wing when I'm working. And my tri-type is a 9-3-6.
I love all the details of it.
But I definitely don't look like a typical 9. So a lot of people will be like, you're not a 9. You're too like energetic, or you are too interactive. And I'm like, no, I really am. So don't bring conflict my way. Don't get angry with me. I will hide under the table.
That it's interesting because that 1-to-1 9 in the social 9, they have a little bit more fire, especially that social 9. I think sometimes they can even mistype as 3s, which I don't know if you've seen that, but.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And what's interesting though, because every time I read through the instinctual subtypes, no matter what teacher is describing it, they'll usually start with self-preservation. And I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe that's me. Then they get to social and I'm like, oh no, that's definitely more me. And then they get to the 1-to-1 and I'm like, okay, forget it. Like that is me. And so they're so closely tied, which makes sense because the 3 instinctual subtypes for 9s really kind of go hand in hand with the 9 itself. Whereas there's some types, their instinctual subtypes are very different. The 9s are so closely tied that it makes sense. So I feel like I just kind of hold hands with all of them and interchange. But by far, the 1-to-1, my desire to be very connected with certain individuals is paramount. So for me, the main one is my husband and my best friend. Who is my best friend, I should say. My husband, who is my best friend.
That's right. Did you, early on in the journey of discovering the Enneagram and things like that, did the 2 resonate with you? Did you ever kind of wander between the 2?
Definitely. Because, you know, the 9, you know, we really do want to serve and help. But I remember, so Catherine Faber, who is really the spearheader and the researcher of the tri-types, she is one of my teachers and kind of mentors, and she's done a lot, you know, she's just amazing person. But I remember learning from her about the 2s because I was really struggling between that, because I'm like, well, I do help a lot of people and I'm pretty, you know, extroverted to some degree and active. And she's like, okay, here's the big difference between 2s and 9s. 2s are very strong. They're very assertive. And so she helped me understand that when a 2, let's say, is average or not at their best, they will insert their help into people's lives. Whereas a 9 is going to not do that. And they're going to like wait and see like, hey, would you like me to do this for you? I can see you have a need. And I was like, oh, that's, yeah, I'm totally a 9. Because a 9 will not insert their help with confidence, because what if that person doesn't want it? Like, we got to double check and make sure not to rock the boat. And the 2, and every time I say this to the 2s, they're like, you ask? Like, why would you ask? Like, they need something. You just do it. And I'm like, so it's just so interesting. And then 2s have, a, you know, I would say a lot stronger ability to be assertive. My daughter's a 2. And to be assertive and to do what needs to be done. Now, of course, I have an 8 wing, so that's where I got a little confused. I definitely want to step in and protect, but I'm definitely going to do it with a lot more mindfulness of avoiding extra conflict than maybe the 2 would. So, but yeah, I totally wrestled with that for a while until Catherine gave. And what was interesting, this, your listeners might really enjoy this. You know, she said that a lot of the earlier writings, which are still out there, a lot of the earlier books, painted more of the 9 picture into the 2. And so a lot of times people get confused, but the 2 is a very assertive person, a very strong type. Obviously, if they have a little bit more of the 1 wing, they might be a little quieter or behind the scenes, but they're a very strong, assertive type that I just think people aren't always, they're not correlating that well.
Yeah. I love this distinction. I have not heard it talked about like this, but I'm like thinking through my head right now of all the 2s I know. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Yes. And 2, when you think about the 2 being compliant, they move towards people. Where the 9 is withdrawn, they kind of move away. Like, let me see, let me observe. Where the 2 is like, let me move into action. This makes so much sense too, when you start to unpack it that way.
when people ask me, like, okay, so what are the biggest differences between 9 and 2? Just put a line, like three lines. The top line above it is healthy, and then in the middle is average, and then below the line is unhealthy. So like I was saying, twos that are average to unhealthy, they are going to see a need and they're going to insert themselves confidently in someone's life. Like pretty much be overpowering and overwhelming to the person. Like they, it's like, I don't need your help. And then they're going to, they're like, no, you do. And they're going to be moving in thinking they're doing a really good thing. The more for the nine, the average, the unhealthy of a nine, the more they're going to actually not insert themselves. They're going to think, oh, they won't want me to do that. So the more and more they'll withdraw. But the healthier a nine gets, the more they're going to see, no, this person has a need and I need to assert myself and maybe insert myself a little bit, but with tact. But so they're actually stronger and they're voicing what they think needs to happen. And then the healthier the two gets, the more humble they get and the more they're like asking, would you like me to help? I see you have a need. Is this something you would like me to do? So it's actually their opposites in and how they are in health. And that's a really big way to spot the nine and the two.
That's great. That I'm sure that that's so helpful for a lot of our listeners, just in the typing, because those two, I feel like they just sit next to each other. They battle, you know, especially when you're typing people, when you're working through it. So those are great distinctions. Okay. So you have taught the Enneagram. You have, first of all, before teaching the Enneagram, how long ago did you get involved in the Enneagram?
Yeah. So I was 26 years old. So this is back in 2001. Jeff and I had been married for 6 years. We had two littles. We got married really young, had our kids young, and he was in seminary. And even though we were best friends, we had turbulence and we didn't understand why. Like, man, we love hanging out together, but why do we keep hitting these, you know, bumps in the road? And so a friend of ours was introduced to the Enneagram through his counselor. And so he said, hey, you might be interested in this. So Jeff looked at it, but he was in full-time seminary. So he kind of skimmed it, thought, yeah, that's interesting, but he had other things to do. And I just dove headlong into it. And as a nine who has like this internal fog, once I found the nine, I was like, oh my word, this makes my life so much easier and clearer. Like I can actually tell Jeff what's going on, because the nine, it's so hard to describe a lot of times what is going on internally. And so we started using it personally and then in our relationship, and just saw so much help in that, and then just overflowed into the lives of others. And then we started using it in our churches and on and on and on. And so that's really kind of how it all began, was way back in 2001.
It's so interesting how we all have found it. You know, it's like by somebody said something. My story, like early on in my story, somebody gave me a book and I started to read it, and it became like, oh my goodness, same thing that happened for you. It was like, this is what's going on. You know, instead of feeling like, I think I'm crazy. Because for me at that point, I found it when I have four kids and my twins were two. And somebody gave me the book like, hey, I think you're not okay. And I was not okay. In our marriage, I love my husband. We got married young too. I was 21 years old when we got married. And, but we just couldn't, like you, just, it was, we just were missing each other. And it was like, I don't understand this, you know? So that dance became part of the catalyst, I think, for my own journey. And then my kiddos, I wanted to understand how to love my kids well, but I had to do my own work and really begin to understand my own story and my own struggles. And like, that I think has been the biggest part of self-awareness. I love this tool. I love it as a tool. It, you know, you and I are both women of faith. And so the Bible is scripture. That is the truth. That is the word of God. This is just a tool. And when we use it as a tool for growth, it does help us begin to see, like, just like you were saying, every number has those three levels. And you begin to recognize your own story. Like, where am I in this level? And then what ownership do I need to gain? Like, what do I need to say? Like, this is me, not them. Because I think in relationships, it's really easy for us to be like, it's them. They need a change, you know?
Oh, totally. Because we can't. And that's the whole, like, you know, when Christ says, or you know, take the log out of your own eye and before you take the speck out of someone else, it's for whatever reason hard for us to see our own stuff, but it means the world to those that we're in relationship when we do, and we own it, and we apologize where we need to apologize, or we grow where we need to grow. It means everything to the other person. And I think a lot of times people think that's, oh, that's weakness. And it's like, no, that's really a strength. And what you said about parenting, actually, we have a book coming out in, I think it's going to be in the summer, The Enneagram and Moms. And that's the whole premise of the book is you got to know your own self and your own story to really have the effect on your kid, because you don't know what your kid's type is until they're old enough to say what their type is. I know there's parents out there. They're like, oh no, I do know. I went through that too. But if you know yourself and you know why you get activated and the healthier path that you can go down, the things that you can do as a mom, no matter what type your kid is truly remarkable. And I really want women to go in that direction. So much growth can be had.
That is a passion of mine as well. So interesting that they line up like that. You started the journey a lot of years ago, and then you had little kids at home. They weren't so little when you started your, the coaching side of it. How old were your kids when you started the actual, like, okay, I'm going to make this a career?
Okay. Okay. So I learned about the Enneagram when they were 3 and 1. Okay. So I really learned it and used it as a mom all that time. But as a good 9, I hid for a very long time, and I hid behind Jeff because people would be like, oh, can you use the Enneagram with us? Or can you present the Enneagram? And so I was basically like the Wizard of Oz, pulling the little strings behind the curtain and telling Jeff what to say and stuff. Until 2015. So my kids were in high school, and actually Nate was just about to go off to college. So here I am 40 years old, and I started learning at 26, and I was like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And as a 9, I knew I needed a couple of years to figure it out. And I was like, you know what? I'd love to be a life coach, but I love the Enneagram, and I love, you know, the gospel. I wonder if that's a thing. And so anyway, it's a kind of a long story, but I had what's called the anger moment. And I had someone in my life that could have really propelled me into the coaching sphere, just by nature of who they were and their sphere of influence. But for whatever reason, they just couldn't see me in that light. And so one day I was home flipping through Instagram, and I saw her post, and here she knew I was passionate about the Enneagram, wanted to be an Enneagram coach. And it was a book on the Enneagram, and oh, my friends, you know, told me about this. It's going to be great. I can't wait. And I'm like, I'm with you every day. You could have asked me any question. So I felt so overlooked. And I, as a 9, we suppress so much, and the volcano was going to erupt. It just, and it's visceral. It happens so quickly. So I just stood up and I walked out of the house and I got in my car, and Jeff was like, what's happening? And I'm like, just look at Instagram. And I got in the car and I started driving, and I just allowed all the emotion that had been pushed down for years to come out. And I just started crying. And then about 15 minutes on the way home, I just felt like God was saying, why are you so angry? And I'm like, are you serious? Like, did you not see this post? And I was really totally sassy. And then shortly after, I just felt like this warm presence, just again, why are you so angry? And it was clear within me, I'm angry because I overlook myself. And what I permit, I promote.
Oh my gosh. Say that again.
So I was said, I'm angry with myself because I overlook myself, and what I permit, I promote. And I knew right then I had to make the decision. Are you going to keep doing that? Which, hey, I've been doing it my whole life. I'm a 9. I can let people overlook me. It's what I do. Or I can make the decision to pave a new path and walk it. It's going to be hard, but it's also going to be life-giving for me and others. So I got home. I looked up certifications for the Enneagram, and I found the one that fitted me best and went for it. And a couple weeks later, that was 2016, and I started diving in, and the history is from there.
Okay. So 2016, you dive in to this program. Okay. Our stories, we've gotten together a couple of times. Our stories, they parallel each other a lot. I was 40 when I started the journey as well. my twins were two when I jumped in, started learning about it. 40, I'm like, I'm going to do this. I found you. That's who I found. I was like, your Enneagram coach reached out to you. You were gracious in that season. And that's the beginning of my journey in this. So you went from like studying, like reading, finding out about yourself, right? Studying the Enneagram, using the Enneagram, then to this passion of like, okay, I'm going to get certified. And then you move into the space of certifying others.
So I had been using the Enneagram up to that point, you know, for like 15 years, like total Enneagram nerd and geek, got my certification. And I've gotten lots of several certifications and masterclasses and stuff, but it was in 2016 that as I was really launching the full business and how I coach and all those things, and kind of really, I love to take the most complex things and distill it down into easy to understand components. That's just really what I'm good at. I don't know how to describe it, but it just is. And so in the fall of 2016, so basically I tell people I was on a surfboard waiting for a wave, and that was the early 2016. And so I was really kind of putting all these components together. And then The Road Back to You came out, which we all know is really the catalyst of making the Enneagram well-known, especially in the faith space. So here I had already been building something, and it was like a tsunami came, and I was like, uh-oh. Like, so I got on the surfboard. I'm just trying to hang on for dear life. And that's when I had people say, hey, do you certify coaches? And I knew one of my greatest gifts is teaching and distilling this content down. And so I prayed about it, and I came up with a scope and a sequence, and I was like, yeah, I do. And so we went through it, 15 of us. You know, I coached trained them week by week and developed what is now become an Enneagram coach, which is what you took. And of course we've, you know, updated it and made it better over the years, but we've now had 2,000 coaches worldwide go through this program. And it is so exhilarating. You know, it's kind of, you know, when you see your growth path, you're like, that's just too hard. I don't think I can do that. So for the 9, my growth path is to self-develop, to assert myself, to know my passions, and to go for it, like being more like a 3, and to use the high part of 6 and be courageous. And I'm like, that sounds really hard. But by doing those things and trusting that God has given me something, I am just floored, astounded, grateful for the work he has done in and through me. Like, it is so fun. It is so life-giving. I love watching people transform. I love people like you take what you've learned and flourish. It's like, are you serious, God? You allowed me to be a part of that. And so, so that's kind of, it started again, 2001, but then the YEC or your Enneagram coach started in 2016. Becoming an Enneagram coach was later in that fall. And since then, it's been 2,000 coaches and counting that from 25 plus countries.
It's just so neat. I think that it's really helpful for people to hear that this took time. It didn't like if people look at 2016, it doesn't look like it took time, right? But the reality is all of the years that God was doing something in you and through you led to this moment that you could capture it and actually make something happen with it. And I think that for a lot of the listeners that maybe are younger, 20s and 30s even, that feel like, that's awesome, I can't even figure out how to get out of my own way. We were there. We know. We remember, right? Like driven husbands, ministry, kids, all of that stuff. It's part of both of our stories. And the hard part around how do I make space for me, you as an Enneagram 9, as an Enneagram 7, my journey is not that different as far as like, I couldn't figure out how to get my head above water. And I knew that there was something stirring inside of me as well, but I was like, the Enneagram made sense to me. And it was like, in the way that you taught it, yes, you broke it down. And, it just kind of, I don't know, it's like that thing that happened, right? So you guys start this in 2016. Again, the years that it took to start this, she didn't just say like, hey, I like the Enneagram. I'm going to study this for 3 months, get certified, and then I'm going to certify others. That is not what happened. And I think that a lot of people need to hear that as far as, if you're looking at, you know, there's just so many courses out there now, like that people are like, I can just do this. Slow down and do it well. I think that you and I would both say that, like, slow down and do things well. And that's what part of the journey was.
I would say that the nice thing that, you know, the path that God took me on, and I'm pretty sure it'd be the same for you, so you'll have to speak for yourself, but the path that he took me down was a path of using it myself for many years. And I mean, daily, like I constantly am using it, not as a tool to shame myself or guilt myself, but as a tool to really understand, where am I at? Am I veering off course? You know, and is there a healthier path that I need to go down? Is there anything that I need to own, apologize for, own up, repair, and just nurture myself in the way that God has created me so that I can be the best version of myself for my family, my friends, coworkers, and then the people that, you know, we serve. And that's hard, but I definitely could not have had your Enneagram coach without the self-work myself. Like there's just no way. It wouldn't have been real. It wouldn't have been authentic. I wouldn't have had the insights. And so it does take, you know, time, but if people use it, man, the things that change in all aspects of life is just remarkable. So it doesn't necessarily like, you don't have to like start it and like, oh, I want to use it to be an Enneagram coach. Just use it where you are right now. And you will see so many things flourish.
I always say like, I've had to go through everything that as I coach people, I'm like, I've had to walk my own path to be able to hold space for you. And so, you know, we are much better coaches on areas that we are familiar with than areas that we're not. And so having that self-awareness, doing the work, having other people speak into our lives, therapy, there's been lots of layers to this and other certifications. You had said that you also got other certifications that support what you do. I think that that's part of it too, that there's a depth of knowledge and it's not just in this one lane. It's like in the whole person. You know, like how do we hold space for the whole person to journey into themselves to actually see where they're stuck or where healing needs to happen, you know, and it's different for everybody's story is so different. So as a coach, the kindness that, that I think we offer is that we went first, you know, we went first so we can hold space for you. Now, you guys, so your kids were little when you started it. You were launching one was in high school when you actually created your Enneagram coach and then birthed this baby into the world. Now Jeff came alongside you during this journey at some point too. And you know, like my husband and I are entrepreneurs. And so working together, it's a little bumpy. He's a 3, I'm a 7. I'm like, get in your own lane. And he's like, I think you need me in your, I'm like, I don't need you in my lane. But I need help, you know, but having, you as a 9 and Jeff as an Enneagram, what number 6, I wanted you to be able to say that. So having you as a 9, him as a 6 with the collaboration, what has that looked like? At what point did he come on with you? And you guys decide to do this together?
Yeah. So he really came on full time. I think it was probably early 2019, I believe, or late or mid 2018. I can't quite remember, but, so it was a good 2.5 years at least, in some ways doing it on my own. I mean, he was always in the background, but he was, a pastor, as associate pastor. So, you know, he had his own stuff going on. But our business just started really growing and his job was an executive pastor. So a lot of what the needs were for YEC was in that realm. And I was like, I really need someone in this realm. And, you know, we can afford for you to leave the pastorate and come over here and I can pay you full time. And So it just worked out, and we love working together. So like before we had kids, we were always doing ministry and stuff together. Obviously when we had kids and I was stay-at-home mom, and then he, you know, was a pastor. And so we just didn't have as much time together, which, you know, was just the way it was, but we wanted more time. So this was like, yay, you know, but I will say it definitely posed its own issues. Whereas this time around, this was my baby, you know,
what I was going to say that and, has got to show it.
Yeah. And here I'm a nine. So I just want to go along, you know, and so if he has ideas, you know, there's part of me that's like, sure. And then there's another part of me that's like, I don't know, you know? And so really having to navigate that. Now, he has always been a huge champion of mine. And that's really sweet, but it doesn't matter to a nine. A nine's like, I'll just go along, you know, like, even though you're wanting my voice to be heard, I don't think I want to hear my voice. So what is your opinion? You know? So I've really had to take time, a lot of time. So for nines out there, just know, and I'm still taking time to know my voice. It's just a constant thing, and it will always be a constant thing. Cause it's so much easier just to go along. So that has been good, but it's also been hard because he has, I wouldn't say always strong opinions, like as in like, it is my way, but he has definite thoughts and opinions. And he, as a six, loves to gain knowledge and experience and guidance from people that he feels very confident in. Well, if I don't, I'm like, there's part of me that's like, I don't know what to do with this. You know, I don't want to have to say like, I don't agree, or I want to do it different. But he's always been, you know, I would say pretty much open, but I think he would love to have had stronger dialogues and the ability to have a more robust back and forth than what I ever feel comfortable with. Because I think a lot of good can come out of sharpening iron. And the nine's just like, that doesn't feel comfortable, you know? So over the years, I have done much better in that aspect. And most recently, we have ventured to see, okay, well, what if I start, because we were doing the podcast together and we've written books together, but what if I just go out and kind of do my own thing? So I'm starting to do the podcast on my own, and the book for moms is on my own with some help with a collaborator writer. Like, we decided to do that together. And that's really fun. And I also miss doing stuff with him. So it's like this boat band. I mean, of course I'm a 1-to-1-9. So it's like, but he's my special person. But it's been good. And so I don't think there will ever be this, like, you figure out this easy journey. I mean, we're always kind of wanting whatever feels easy. So we'll never get there, and I'm okay with that. And so I feel like I'm just in this new season of exploring, being me, you know, what is my vision? Cause I'm the chief content creator at Your Enneagram Coach. So what's my vision? What do I want to teach? What do I want? What content do I want out there? And, you know, in some ways I wish I was as clear and bold as, like, let's say an 8 or a 7 or 3 or any of the other types for that matter. They're all like much more clear than I am. But I know that my path, my struggle in figuring out what I want actually enables me to bring the Enneagram to the world in the way I actually do. So it's through the struggle that good things really are happening. I just kind of sometimes don't want to struggle.
I totally get it.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. But so all in all, so having Jeff around has been remarkable. And I would say it's my own journey that I've had to wrestle with, more than anything.
I think it's helpful for me to hear too, as far as an entrepreneur in this space, trying to figure it out. You know, it is constant creation. So I'm the content creator for what I do as well. And it is this, like, what do I want to say? How do I want to hold space for people? What does this look like? And it does take time, I think, for us to, like, craft that and curate that. I do think too, age matters, like, in this space. I just feel like as I get older and I go through different seasons, I'm feeling it differently. Like there's been so much stuff on socials about the parent-child relationship, which I can't wait to read your new book when it comes out. But around the parent-child relationship, and there's, so I feel some of it feels pretty negative in this space too, around like, if your parent did this, then this is what it means. But there's not a ton of space being held for like, and they did the best that they could. And they were trying to, maybe they didn't have the space, didn't have the language to figure things out. So our generation, you and I are close in age. Our generation has the opportunity to be more curious. Our parents, that is not the case. And our grandparents, forget it. There just wasn't this language. And so I think that there's a lot of grace in some of these spaces. So like, as I'm launching children out into the world and they have access to therapy and all those things, I'm a huge advocate for all that for my children. But I hold space carefully for people that I'm coaching in that space. Like, as you go into those childhood messagings and things like this, because I'm a parent that launched children. And I think that like 5 years ago, I hadn't launched anybody yet. And so I wasn't thinking about that. And so, you know, I do think that the content evolves, and I think it should evolve. So if I'd love to hear this, and this isn't a question that I prompted you for. So, if it takes you a minute, or if you say you don't want to answer it, you don't have to. I'm so curious as to what is inspiring you right now in your content creation. Like, is there a certain modality that you're interested in? Is it Ted Lasso? You know, is it something completely in a different field? What is stirring that creative energy for you right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say for me, in regards to kind of like what you were saying, the seasons of life has really altered how I do things. I remember when my kids were really little and I was using it a lot. And quite frankly, a lot of how I did use it is kind of in the book per se. But then there's a huge shift in the sense of my kids are 25 and 23 and my daughter's married and is pregnant with her first grandchild. So
congratulations.
Yeah. So like, I'm like in a completely different season. And never thought that I would launch this book at this age for moms. But honestly, I think it's the best age for me to launch it because I do have that different perspective. And I think that perspective affords me to say, I remember how long the days felt. And I remember thinking, people would say, but the years are so short. And I'm like, are you serious? They don't feel short. They just feel long and hard, and I'm exhausted and I want to pull my hair out and all the things. But I also want to give a lot of hope to moms. The other thing I wanted to say was when you were talking about, you know, your kids and as a mom, like I think so often what I hear from parents when they read about the Enneagram, especially that lost childhood message, is like, well, what did I do wrong? And I'm like, you didn't do necessarily anything wrong. It's hardwired into the type on this side of the fall. Like it's already there. Now, yes, we could acerbate it for sure, but it's already there. And now that my kids are grown and adults and we can have really robust conversations about their growing up and the things that hurt them and harm them. And my kids too, I champion any coaching, counseling. And so we've had really good conversations. And so just from one mom to the moms that are listening or parents really for that matter, I can guarantee you that Jeff and I tried our best with all the tools, with the Enneagram knowledge. And yet when I hear, like, for instance, you know, like our son, he had like a really hard spot in middle school with a teacher who was a type one, and type one teacher was pretty much, he did tell the class, I did everything right growing up. You should just follow my example. And there just was I know it wasn't intentional harm in his unhealth of being a one. There was a lot of harm that was being done. And listening to my son, like he really needed guidance and support and security. And though he'll say we gave that to him a lot, there are things that I have seen and recognized now that I can look back on that I can honestly apologize for. Not so much that I was necessarily doing something absolutely wrong, but I didn't, for his personality as a type six, he did not feel as protected and guided in that circumstance as he needed. Could I have fixed that? I don't know. I saw what I saw. I did all the best I could. I didn't know the full weight of his sixness at the time because I think I had just learned he was a six. And so I am trying to give him the best that I can as a type nine. So I'm trying to keep the peace between the teachers and the administration and my son. But really what he needed was to feel, I'm going to go to bat with you. So he felt that to a certain degree, but not to the degree that I believe he really longed for. And that's okay. Meaning, it's not that I'm okay that we couldn't be all that we, let's say, he needed to be, but that's part of his story. That's part of his journey. And what I can do right now is to listen, to give him space, to acknowledge, to apologize, not so much that I did something wrong, but that me as a human mom couldn't be the fulfillment of what he needed, and that I can own that and be okay and know that I did the best that I could, and yet there's still a gap, and that he can grieve that and I can grieve that with him. And it's in that acknowledgement, it's in that process that true relationship and true healing happens. And so I think by us being older, it gives us the ability to see the highs and the lows and the things that we've learned, the things we missed, to bring observation and clarity to the younger generation. But I also love the younger generation because they're teaching me things that our generation would never, we weren't taught it because our parents' generation wouldn't have taught it to us. So it's really, I think, a beautiful season, this generation, like this, the multiple of us generations, like on social media and influencers and stuff, that we get to learn from both sides. So what am I most creative right now? I am most passionate about helping people to get a coach or become a coach, because I mean, obviously not everyone has to have a coach, but I think there's so much value in working with a coach because we can't see ourselves clearly or what we're going through. So to have someone mirror back, ask curious questions, unpack our personality in ways that give us the time and the clarity to have aha moments is more valuable than people I think ever realize. So getting coached is so important. But there's so many people that have gotten coached or maybe haven't, but they are just naturally good at coaching. So I'm like, hey, get a coach or become a coach. Like, so many people need that. So a lot of the content that I'm creating and stuff is revolve around those two things.
Having a coach is so important and valuable for that piece that we just can't see about ourselves, or just to have somebody in your corner that is not attached relationally necessarily, you know? So it's like they can bounce things off of you and they might even take things from you in a different way. We can challenge in some different ways. It doesn't feel like an attack. It's more like out of curiosity. What about this? So, coaching and being a coach or needing coaching. I keep saying that. I don't know. Coaching in general, all of it.
Get a coach, become a coach.
Become a coach. All of it's so good. Okay. My last question for you today is, what has it been like for you as an Enneagram 9 in the public eye?
Yeah. So I honestly don't know what, let's say, my persona is out there. If there might be, let's say, 10 people that follow me or have heard of me and they have an opinion, I don't even know what that is. So what I want them to know about me is I'm just like you. And I am a mom, to be a grandmother, a wife, a friend. Like, I am just Beth, and yet God has given me this incredible space to teach people, to train people, to launch them into their coaching businesses so that they can help other people, this ripple effect that I feel so blessed about. So I don't know what other people think about me, but I want them to know I am in this with you. I am using this tool just like you. I need God and salvation just like everyone else. And so I think more than anything, I just want people to know, I just want you to come and sit with me and let's just talk. I mean, you and I've done that. And I hope that what they see, they experience from me. Now, on the other side, being more well-known is fun and it's super challenging because not everybody loves the Enneagram. Not everybody agrees the Enneagram, especially in the Christian world. They have their own thoughts of, you know, with some false facts and stuff like that. And so I've had a lot of people not be so nice and misrepresent me. And as a nine, that's been super hard. And it's one reason why I waited so long to do anything with the Enneagram until that big anger moment that I talked about earlier. But I realized that I had grown so much and that I'm actually keeping this transformative tool from a gospel-centered perspective from others. And that didn't feel loving and caring. So I knew that my path was to get out there. And if God brought it to the masses like he has, and people know me, that there would be the potential of conflict of people disagreeing and not being happy with me or what I do. And though that's been hard, I'm okay with it because I totally believe in how God has called me and how much I have really strived to make it honoring to him first and foremost. And not everyone has to agree with me on that. And that's okay. And those that do agree, I see them being blessed and it makes me super happy. And I just trust the Lord in that process. So it has been challenging, but more than that, it's been absolutely rewarding.
I think being in the public eye is tricky. I think it's tricky. And I think that anybody that gets an opportunity to sit across the table with you would find you absolutely lovely. And so that is who you are. You are lovely inside and out. And so I'm thankful for you in this community. I'm thankful for the gift of that you've given to this community with offering what you know, your knowledge, your expertise into this community. It's just invaluable. Okay. Where can people find you? So if they don't know who you are, which I cannot imagine if you're listening to this podcast that you don't, but where can people find you if they're looking for you or if they want more to, you know, more information about becoming a coach or getting plugged in with a coach, where would you suggest?
Well, everything is at yourenneagramcoach.com. We have a free assessment there, but also the tools and the training, yourenneagramcoach.com/BEC is for the Become an Enneagram Coach course. And if they email us at info@yourenneagramcoach and they want to talk to someone about becoming a coach, we have a coaching team that would be happy to share with you what that experience is. And so, yeah, we're right there. And then Your Enneagram Coach on Instagram or YouTube, you know, we have our podcast up and several other videos so people can learn and grow, you know, free, you know, just go there. And then Your Enneagram Coach, the podcast, you know, so we're kind of like in lots of different places and books and different things. But yeah, so that's kind of where people can find us. But yeah, we want to help people to get a coach. And so we have lots of certified coaches that they can find at myenneagramcoach.com. Or become a coach.
Okay. So if you don't follow Beth, go follow Beth. If you want more on coaching, let her know for sure. I also coach too. So you can always DM me and let me know. And I'm certified through Beth's stuff. So that's awesome. but thank you so much for being with us today.
And thank you for joining us today. Join us next time as we continue our conversation about the Enneagram and what it means for your relationships. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're there, we'd love for you to leave a review. Your kind words help others find the show. For more great Enneagram content, resources, and individual coaching, you can visit enneagramwithjb.com. And while you're there, make sure to order Jackie's newest book, The Enneagram and Your Marriage. We'll see you next time on Enneagram with JB.